So we're continuing the series on the Holy Spirit. Hugh did the first one where he told us about when the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out, and he gave a few personal examples. And then David last week told us about some of the things that happen when the Holy Spirit is in your life, and that the Spirit gives us love and power and a sound mind. So Hugh threw it open, said I could do anything at all on the Holy Spirit. So I've decided to do the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. All right? So do you think the Holy Spirit is in the Old Testament? Okay. So that's what we're going to look at. I've got some pretty pictures for you. And basically, I've got a picture of somebody where it specifically mentions in the Bible about the Holy Spirit. In a sense, you could say every miracle that happened is because of the Holy Spirit. But I haven't picked every miracle that has happened. I've picked the ones where it specifically says, and the Holy Spirit did this, all right? So now some of the pictures, you will know the people immediately. Some of them are a bit harder, all right? So, and Hugh isn't allowed to answer any of them, all right? Right, okay, we're not quite ready for that. I just want to say a few basic things about the Holy Spirit before we get started, so you know where I'm coming from. So the first thing I want to say is that the Holy Spirit is God, all right? He's part of the Trinity. He is eternal, omnipresent, omniscient. That means all present, present everywhere, all knowing. And he is the active, effective agent of the Godhead that has been present from the beginning of creation. In fact, David says, where can I go from your spirit? So that's the first thing. I'm not going to attempt to explain the Trinity. It is a mystery, but the Holy Spirit is God. The second thing I want to say, the Holy Spirit is a person. All right, the Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a person. And because he's a person, he experiences emotions. And we can experience the emotions of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've ever been in one of those meetings where somebody's laughing their heads off because the Holy Spirit has come upon them. But we can experience the emotions of the Holy Spirit, you know, sometimes when the Holy Spirit is grieved or sad, or we can experience his joy, we can, because he is a person, right? Third thing, he's involved in creation. It says that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So right at the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the Holy Spirit is mentioned. He's hovering over the waters. And as the Spirit and the Word come together, creation takes place, something new happens. And that is still the case. And David says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, the starry hosts by the breath of his mouth, which is the Spirit. So when the Word and the Spirit come together, creation takes place and something new happens. And Job says, the Spirit of God has made me. And then the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible, all right? It says that all scripture is God-breathed in 2 Timothy 3:16. And Peter says that scriptures were given via from God via the Holy Spirit. So, all those things about the Holy Spirit. And the reason I want to look at that is because sometimes we think that it only happened in the New Testament and the Holy Spirit wasn't present, but he's been present right from the beginning. And if we can understand the kind of things the Holy Spirit has always done, then we'll know he's still in the same business and still wanting to do the same kind of things for us in greater detail, because now we can be baptized in the Spirit, not just a few people getting the benefit of the Holy Spirit. So we'll start with that first one. I actually put this in for my daughter because we've been there. Right, so who is this character? Joseph, all right. Now, for Joseph, what it specifically says is that Pharaoh recognized that the Spirit of God was in him. And what I've done is I've listed the people. I'm going to tell you what the scriptures are, and then I'm going to tell you what they managed to achieve because the Holy Spirit was on them. So here's Joseph. If you pull that scripture up. Can we find anyone like this man in whom the Spirit of God? And what did he do under the power of the Holy Spirit? He interpreted dreams, all right? So that's what Joseph was able to do. Next one. Now, this one's hard because this is representing a person, all right? Now, would anybody like to tell me who is represented by that? Not Moses. Fantastic. Right. Bezalel is the name of the person. Right. So if you bring up the next slide. See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, etc. Filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, understanding, knowledge, all kinds of skills to make artistic designs, for working gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to working wood, and to engage in all kinds of craft. So, the Holy Spirit can give you ability in crafts and to actually practically make things, all right? This was the ability given by the Holy Spirit. That's very clear, isn't it? And God, the Holy Spirit, gave him the ability to do all the work on the tabernacle, to make, that's the Ark of the Covenant, a representation of the Ark of the Covenant. And Bezalel was given that because of the Holy Spirit. Okay, next one. Now, there's two people on this, but it's the one who's knelt down. It is Joshua. Excellent. So that's Moses laying his hands on Joshua. And if we read the scripture, now, Joshua, the son of Nun, was filled with the Spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So he had a spirit of wisdom, and in another place it says the spirit of leadership. So you can be wise and you can be given ability to lead through the Holy Spirit. Okay, so this was all happening in the Old Testament. Right, next one. This time I do want... Who's that? That is Moses. All right. Now, there's a bit in the Bible that says that Moses was to lay his hand on the elders of Israel, and by the Spirit, they would get the same anointing as Moses. So if we bring that verse up. And took some of the power of the Spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied. This is Old Testament. Moses has got the Spirit of God and it's been put on the 70 elders. Now, in this particular story, two of the elders weren't present. They were somewhere else. And do you know what happened? They started prophesying. Because God had put the anointing on them all. And even though they weren't present, they started prophesying as well. Okay. Now, there's whole loads of stuff in the Bible, in the Old Testament, about prophesying, about how, there's too many to mention, about how the Spirit of God comes on a person and that they prophesy and it's the result of the Holy Spirit being upon them. So... I thought I would show this chap, though. Next one. Right. Who's that one? Balaam. Yeah. Excellent. So, Balaam, I don't know if you know this story, but the donkey could see the angel of the Lord that was ready to kill, would have killed him if he'd come by. The donkey could see him, but Balaam couldn't. And so the donkey just kept refusing, and the guy's hitting him like mad, telling him to go along. But the donkey was very faithful and eventually opened his mouth and said, "Why are you beating me? I've done you a favour, you know." So, but later on in the story of Balaam, who was an ungodly man, and was very into dodgy things. And later on, bad things happened to him because he was. But it does say this about him. When Balaam looked out and saw Israel encamped by the tribe of God, the Spirit of God came upon him and he spoke his message. So the Spirit of God can even come on the ungodly, and he gave a word that was from God, and that happens a lot. So there's a scripture, I haven't got a slide for this, in Zechariah that says how that the Lord had sent by his Spirit his words through the prophets. And in the New Testament, it says the same. All the way through the scripture, it's saying that the prophets often would have a word from the Lord because of the Holy Spirit and allowed them to do it. One of them is that is mentioned by name, I will mention, is when there's a king called Jehoshaphat who wants to go out to battle, but he is a little bit afraid. And a prophet comes and it says the Spirit of the Lord came on him and he encouraged, he gave him the word of the Lord and encouraged Jehoshaphat to go back out into battle. So encouragement can also be brought by prophecy. Okay, next one's quite easy, I think. I love this picture. He's looking very cool, isn't he? He's not overly concerned by the lions prowling around him. So obviously, any of the prophets were inspired by the Holy Spirit. But specifically, it says that there is a man in your kingdom who has the spirit of holy gods in him. That other people recognize that the Holy Spirit was on this Daniel. And again, he could interpret dreams. In fact, Daniel not only interpreted dreams, he told Nebuchadnezzar what the dream was in the first place. So that's how much he heard God. Right. So, next one. This one's quite a tricky one. Ooh. Who said that? Ezekiel, yes. Right. So Ezekiel is one of the prophets. And Ezekiel's the guy who gets a vision of heaven. And this is somebody's interpretation of that. Obviously, it could look absolutely nothing like that. But there are rainbows mentioned. There is a sea of glass mentioned in the Bible. There are rings with eyes around them, things like that. So this is somebody's interpretation. Now, interestingly enough, it specifically says that Ezekiel was raised to his feet by the Spirit. Now, we all have heard of being slain in the Spirit and put out on the floor, which is not in the Bible at all, by the way. Not that I'm complaining. I've been slain in the Spirit, and I would love it to happen to me all the time, so I'm not... But, interestingly enough, several times in Ezekiel, he's so overwhelmed by the presence of God, he's flat out on the floor, and it says the Holy Spirit raises him up. So that's interesting, isn't it? That we can be physically, things can physically happen to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, next chap. Elijah, yeah. Okay, again, like I say, all the prophets were given the word of God by the Holy Spirit, but some of them it specifically says. Now, there's a couple of occasions in the life of Elijah where people are a bit worried that God is going to take him away and move him to a different location like that by a miracle. It must have happened because there's at least two different sets of people who are really worried that he's not going to be there, but God will have moved him somewhere else. So if we read the scriptures on that. So Obadiah, I think, was one of them. He was meant to meet, he was King Ahab's servant. And King Ahab sent him to meet Elijah. And he just thought, why have you given me that job? Because he says, I don't know that the Lord might, you know, he speaks to Elijah and says, God might just carry you away, because that kind of thing happened with Elijah. All right. And then also when he was taken up into heaven, all the prophets there were going, perhaps the Spirit has picked him up and set him down in some mountain or in some valley, because that's the kind of thing that happened with Elijah. So that is also what the Holy Spirit can do. Right. Now, the next one. Who said that? Somebody said Nehemiah. Yeah, okay. This is when Nehemiah's building the walls. I'm actually using it because I'm using a scripture from Nehemiah, but it's not specifically about Nehemiah that the Spirit is on. It's actually about the children of Israel that I want to do a little bit on, because there are various scriptures throughout the Bible where it talks about how the Spirit of God deals with the nation of Israel. So there we are. First of all, it says in Nehemiah 9:20, you gave your good spirit to instruct them. And then it says, by your spirit you warn them through the prophets. So God is working by his spirit for the nation of Israel. And then the next one, which again is representing the nation of Israel, just picked a particular event. That's the gold. It's somebody's depiction of the golden calf, the incident with the golden calf. But can we have the scriptures for that? So, where is he who set his Holy Spirit among them, who set his glorious arm of power to be at Moses' right hand? They were given rest by the Holy Spirit of the Lord. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So these are all specifically about what the Holy Spirit is doing for the nation of Israel at this time. So it's saying that he gave the nation of Israel power. He gave them by the Spirit. He gave them the power of the Spirit. They were given rest from the Holy Spirit. The Spirit can give you rest and peace. And, you know, there's been various times in the history where they enjoyed peace by the direction of the Holy Spirit. And it says that he will put his spirit in Ezekiel, he'll put his spirit in them so that they will follow his laws. So the ability to keep, live righteously is also in there. Okay, now there are various judges that appear in the Bible, and I can't put them all in because, again, there's lots of them where it says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon so-and-so, and they did so-and-so. So a couple of those characters that I haven't got a slide for is somebody called Othniel, who's Caleb's nephew, and somebody called Jephthah, and it says that the Spirit of the Lord came on them so that they were able to lead Israel and they were able to go into battle and fight battles. So the Spirit of the Lord can do that for you. So, but we will look at one of those judges. Who would like to tell me who that one is? Gideon. Yeah, okay. Gideon was very cowardly and hiding and didn't believe that he was a leader or able to do what God wanted him to do. But it says in Judges 6:34, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon and he blew the trumpet somewhere in the Abiezerites to follow him. So he gave him, God, the Holy Spirit gave supernatural courage to Gideon. Next one. Samson, yeah. I love that picture. That lion doesn't stand a chance, does it? He's right in there. Okay, so the scripture, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands as he might have torn a young goat. So Samson was given by the Spirit the power to, we're talking physical power. We often talk about the power of the Spirit, but we're not really talking physical power, are we? We're talking ability and authority. But this is quite specific, that the Holy Spirit can enable you to rip a lion apart. All right? Okay, next one. This one's hard, I think. Look at his face. Look at Saul. Fantastic. Not that hard then. Okay. So this is King Saul looking very troubled. I think as the picture goes out, this might be a harp and David might be over here. But anyway, this is King Saul looking very, very troubled. But if you actually, because at this point in his life, it says that the Holy Spirit had departed from Saul. And when the Holy Spirit departed from Saul, he was in a lot of trouble. And in fact, David had to come along and try, and an evil spirit was tormenting him. And David had to come along and try and soothe him because the Holy Spirit had departed. But before that, it does say in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you and you will prophesy with them, that's some of the prophets, and you will be changed into a different person. And then there's another bit. So A, prophesied, B, was changed into a different person, and then a bit later on, next chapter, it says, when Saul heard the words, their words, the Spirit of God came powerfully on him and he burned with anger. So the Holy Spirit caused him to burn with anger, righteous anger. And what was actually happening in here is that the enemies of Israel had made a threat and said, we'll not attack you provided we can take out the right eye of absolutely everybody. And when Saul heard this, he felt, you know, I said the Holy Spirit's a person. He felt the anger of what God felt. Nobody is doing that to my people. And then God gave him the ability to go and fight these people and win. So something else the Holy Spirit does. And then next one. Okay. David, yeah. I've actually got two pictures for David because there are so many things in the life of, there are so many references to David and the Spirit. David was a person on whom the Spirit of God was, and there's lots of instances of it. So if we'll start with the first scripture, which should be the next slide. So when he was anointed by Samuel, it says, from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. So he came along and anointed him, allowed him to do things like kill bears and kill lions. And then David says of himself in his last words, the Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. Now, was there ever anybody who had more songs and poetry that was given by God? David, the singer of songs, and that God was speaking through him by the Holy Spirit and giving him the ability to write songs. So the next one. Now, I like this one because this is when David is king and he's looking very different to Saul. And Saul was looking very miserable, but David is looking up. David is always looking up to his God. He's looking to his God. Now, this one, can we have the scriptures for this? So in the New Testament, it mentions about David being filled with the Spirit. Matthew 24:43, Acts 4:25. And basically, he is saying, how did David know that Jesus was the Messiah? How did David know to call the Lord his Lord? And it says he was speaking by the Spirit. So David had an amazing revelation of who Jesus was, who the Messiah was, the future. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant. All the time, David is receiving words from God. Now, this is my favourite one, 1 Chronicles 28:12. Right. Now, this is where David wasn't allowed to build the temple. But do you know what God did? God gave him all the plans for how to do it. And then David gave those plans to his son Solomon. Right. Now, if you read the detail of those plans, it is amazing. He's an architect in it. Tells you how the building is to be built, how it's to be designed. Then what it's to be made of, even the articles that are to go into it, how it's to be decorated. Now, I don't know about you, but I quite like these programs where they do houses up. Homes under the hammer, shall we say. And often there'll be a couple, won't there? And the husband will go, well, I'll be doing the plumbing and the plastering and whatever. And then she takes over and titivates it and makes it look lovely and does all the indoor decor and all that. Well, God gives all the indoor decor, the Holy Spirit, to David on this. How much weight of gold is to go into each thing, how it's to be made. So all the designs, he's the architect, he's the project manager. And then he tells him how it's to be administrated, who is to work in the temple, what they're to do, what their jobs will be, absolutely every detail of it. And then he says, and God gave me the ability to write it all down and to understand it as well. So this is what David has got the ability to do by the power of the Holy Spirit, to have a whole temple design and absolutely everything in it. So that's the Holy Spirit. Okay, so I've told you what the Holy Spirit does in the Old Testament. And then in the New Testament, which I can't do because there just isn't time, there's most of those things happen and more. We've got the fruits of the Spirit. We've got the gifts of the Spirit. We've got the fact that he convicts us of sin, but which will all come out in the next few weeks, I'm sure. But just based on the fact of what we know the Holy Spirit is like in the Old Testament, do we think that we have got the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Do we think that there might be some areas that we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives? Are our expectations of the Holy Spirit right? It does say in the Bible that in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, that we can quench the Spirit, which means put the fire out. And it also tells us to be filled with the Spirit. So if he's telling us to be filled with the Spirit, some of that responsibility must be on us. Otherwise, why would he tell us to do something that we can't do? Right. So some of that responsibility is on us to be filled with the Spirit and not to quench the Spirit. So what kind of things might be stopping us from walking into this? If I read the list, because I made it into a nice little chart. So interpretation of dreams, ability to make artistic designs in all sorts of materials, wisdom for leadership, prophesying, predicting the future, revelation of a dream, interpretation of dream, being lifted to our feet, being transported to a different location, given instructions, given warnings, being delivered, given rest, given the power to live righteously, given a gift of leadership, fighting battles for us, giving supernatural courage, supernatural strength, being changed into different people, power, words of God in songs and poetry, revelation by the Spirit, revelation of who Jesus is, revelation of the Messiah. Architecture, administration, understanding. These are all what the Holy Spirit can do for us. So what is stopping us? What might be quenching it? Well, I think one big area that stops it is fear. Because some people are really quite scared that if the Holy Spirit comes, what if I am, you know, slain in the Spirit? Or, you know, what if he does something that I really will embarrass me or I don't want? And so fear can stop us. Also, maybe if you really open yourself up to the Holy Spirit and he says, thus saith the Lord, I want you to go to Outer Mongolia, then, again, maybe we don't really want that option. Or even worse, thus saith the Lord, I want you to go to Fresh New Place and tell people about Jesus. So fear, I think, is one reason why we don't want the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I think another one is pride. I think a lot of us, card-carrying Pentecostal charismatics, we got the gift of tongues, so we've made it, right? We're there, you know, we can speak in tongues. And I think we've seen it as that's all it is. It's just these gifts of the Spirit. And so we've limited God. And you know, we're there, really. You know, I'm pretty experienced in the Spirit, you know. So, you know, I think pride can get in the way. And then I think sometimes we're just a bit settled. You know, we're just a bit... Well, I think it's easier as you get older. I'm just a bit settled, and therefore I don't even think about having some of those experiences that I've had in the past. So my challenge to you is, are there any areas that you need God's help with? Could you do with a bit of help in administration? do you need a design from God? Do you need a plan from God? Do you need guidance from God? Is there an area of your life that you need deliverance from? Are you afraid? Then the Holy Spirit is here to do that for you. And we need to be asking him for that. Do you sense God is calling you to do something creative? I was going to play a testimony, but Hugh said it wasn't very good. There was... I don't know of those of us that have been around a while. Can you remember the group, the second chapter of Acts? Yeah? I loved the second chapter of Acts. She was given the ability to play the piano. Hadn't got it. Got filled with the Spirit and was given the ability to play the piano. So those kind of things do still happen. All right? And given lots of songs from God. And then you may be that you don't have a need, but you've just got settled. And you're not really asking for the Spirit of God, the fullness of God. Well, you know what? God is always wanting to reveal something new. Even if, you know, you're housebound, you don't go to work anymore, you're retired, you haven't got some things that you had before in your lives that filled your lives. The Holy Spirit is always wanting to speak to you and speak through you and reveal something new to you. You know, just reading about all this week has stirred me up again, realizing how much God has got for me. And, you know, are we speaking the words of God? Are we... Do you know, I once had a word, this is the weirdest word I've ever had, and we were praying for two girls who God had called to go out to China from M World Horizons, and I felt God say to me, say 180, right? Now, I don't even watch darts much, but I felt God say to me, tell her, 180, you've aimed for the best. And you've got it. Because 180 is the maximum score you can score from any three darts. So if ever it's on a competition on the telly and they get the 180, that's what the guy does, the commentator. Right? Now, that's quite scary. So I just said, I believe the Lord's saying 180, you've aimed for the best. And they went, oh, great, yeah. Yeah, we play darts every week. They went to darts. And I had absolutely no idea. Now, only the Holy Spirit can do that, can't he? And that was so encouraging. And we just need to be open to hearing the voice of God and hearing the Holy Spirit. Right, I'm done. But I'd like to pray for you. I'd like to pray for you. So if you can stand. The band can come back, but I have no idea what you would like to play after that. One thing I really felt God wanted to say was that he's given you the Holy Spirit to help you. All right? Can we all say that? He's given us the Holy Spirit to help us. So we don't need to be afraid. It's not some sort of trick that he's trying to trip you up on. He has given you the Holy Spirit to help you because he loves you and he's a good father. And, you know, we want more of the Spirit, don't we? So that we can, you know, live this life to the fullness. Okay. Dear Lord, I do thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit so that everybody who knows you can be filled with the Spirit, Lord. Not just the chosen few, but God, everybody that knows you can be filled with your Spirit and experience all that the Holy Spirit does. And I just pray, Almighty God, that you'll put a desire in our hearts to be filled with your Spirit, Lord. That we'll be open to hearing your voice. We'll be open to speaking your words. Pray, Lord, if there's things that people were called to that they've put to one side and it's gone off the boil, I just pray, God, you'd stir that up again, Lord. There's people with creative abilities that you've given them to do, Lord. I pray, God, you'll stir that up again, Lord, and that you'll reveal things by your Holy Spirit, Lord. I also pray, Lord, for all the people who aren't healed, God. I pray it will be like the elders of Israel, God, that wherever they are, Lord, you will pour down your Spirit, Lord, and you will bring a new life, Lord, and you will release from fear, and you will bring courage, Lord, and people will be aware that you're a helper, Lord. I ask it in your name, Lord. We just pray, God, that you will pour out your Spirit across this place, Lord. Give new visions and new dreams, Lord. Amen.